We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts may always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock and redeemer. And as I already said this morning, I am doxology. May seem like an odd name, especially because it means words of glory, a praise of God. But perhaps that will make more sense to you when I tell you that I'm not named for who I am, but for what I help people do. Doxology. And what I help people do is remember. If you remember nothing else from this service, remember this. Words of glory help people remember. You'll probably understand that better if I give you an example. Take the Apostle Paul, for example, the author of the New Testament lesson today. The Lord sent him to sit beside the Apostle Paul whenever he wrote a letter to one of the churches. You'll probably notice that Paul's epistles are not always that easy to read. For one thing, he often uses really long sentences. For another, sometimes he changes the subject right in midstream. He goes off on what seems like a wild goose chase. And for another, you know, Paul is a deep thinker. And for the readers to follow his reasoning takes work. Worthwhile work, but work nonetheless. What's more, Paul can get so immersed in the issue about which he is writing that he momentarily loses sight of the good news. So my job as doxology every once in a while is simply to tap him on the shoulder. And that had the effect of awakening him afresh to the object and to the subject behind all his writing and his ministry. Usually when I gave him a nudge, he sort of came to his senses and words began to flow out of his pen and onto the page. Once Paul was writing to the Romans, and he was in his deep theological set of mind. In that part of that letter that you know as chapter 11, he was talking about the salvation of the Gentiles and how Israel will eventually be saved. But his remarks were heavy with words that some people stumble over. They were about being imprisoned in disobedience in the time while they waited. So I tapped his shoulder, and from his pen came this: everything comes from God. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory. Always praise. Yes, yes, yes. And later, when he got to the end of that letter, having included personal greetings and final instructions for the life of the church, he paused, as though not sure what to say next. So I gave him a good tap this time. He then wrote, "Now to the God who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." I remember, I'm doxology. I'm not a mantra. I'm not repeating assertions which say, I will overcome this, or I choose to live large, or I will have the courage to follow my heart and my intuition. In fact, I declarations are not part of what I do. My declarations are God declarations. I'm doxology. And I help you remember who God is. There are other examples. The psalmist. Centuries ago, the Lord sent me to the psalmist when they were recording their prayers and cries and pleadings. I helped them to remember to add praise. Many years ago, I was with John of Patmos when he recorded the visions about things to come. When he told us about the end times. At one point, after I knocked on his noggin, he burst out and he said, to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. The shepherds of Bethlehem. Of course, sometimes are easier than others to help people remember the glory of God. One of the easiest times was in the fields when the shepherds, with the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. After the angel appeared to them and told them the news about God's great gift to the world, I was the one who summoned the heavenly host so they could sing. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who he favors. I went with the shepherds when they hurried off to see the child. And I was with them afterward as well. In fact, that's why Luke, the gospel writer, recorded, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. But I work in harder times too, times when things have not gone well, when dreams have been quashed, when you've gotten confirmation of a dreaded diagnosis, when Christmas comes and you can't be with your family, or when this Christmas is the first one without a loved one who died during the year, I'm there. Indeed, my work brings divine perspective to different times. That's why the prophet Amos, in the space between his hard words about Israel rejecting God and in his lament for Israel's sins, he praised God. He wrote, who forms the mountain, creates the wind, reveals his thoughts to mortals, makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. So, yes, my work is also for hard times. In fact, what better time to remember the glory of God, who, as Paul wrote, is able to strengthen you, than when the going gets rough? What better time do we need to be able to recall that God, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. As Paul wrote doxologically to the Ephesians. Christmas carols. So I have places to be this Christmas, including in this church service. you may notice that some of the words of the Christmas carols are doxologies. Still another example, I also will be in many homes throughout this season. In some of these, it seems that I'm an expected guest, that I'm really a member of the family. I don't really need an invitation because I'm already part of the household. But at some other homes, especially where sadness marks the day, I have to gently push my way in. It was like the home of a certain widow on Christmas. She was a woman of faith, but it was her first Christmas without her husband. Her son was out of the country, and her daughter was tied up with obligations far away that kept her from coming also. She felt so gloom and unchristianty that she hadn't even bothered putting up any holiday decorations. So I visited, and when she didn't acknowledge me, I gave her a nudge. She looked at me, startled, and then said, "This is Christmas? I should remember the Lord this Christmas?" "Yes," I said. She stood still, obviously thinking. And finally she smiled and said, "I get it. Without doxology, I'd really be alone. We all would." Then she let the words tumble out. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen me according to the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen."